Ed interviews Jeff Davidson, the work-life balance expert, who has written 56 mainstream books and is a preeminent authority on time management. He is author of Breathing Space and Simpler Living. Jeff has been widely quoted in the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Christian Science Monitor, New York Times, and USA Today. Jeff believes that career professionals today have a responsibility to achieve their own sense of work-life balance, and he supports that quest through his website, breathingspace.com.
Jeff, thanks for joining us today on Law Biz Management's podcast series. It's a pleasure for me to talk with you, especially on the subject of our conversation today, work-life balance.
Glad to be here.
You are the expert, the work-life balance expert, and I want to start our questioning today, our interview today, by asking you a simple question. Why does life seem so complex today for so many of us?
Yeah, the first thing we need to know is to not take it personally. It's a sociocultural phenomenon. In other words, merely being born in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, holding any kind of position of responsibility today, whether you're in the legal field or any other field for that matter, if you're a student, if you're a homeowner, if you're caring for aging parents, any kind of responsibility added to all that competes for our attention makes for a very hectic day. We literally are bombarded by more bits of information in the span of, say, 24 hours than a person in previous generations encountered in a week, a month, or even longer.
Well, I know lawyers who contact me are seeking to be successful, and I guess my retort to them is, if you want to be successful, you've got to hire me. If you're looking for work-life balance, it's not something I understand. Where is it that they can go to get some help?
Fortunately, these days, there's lots of help in all directions, and maybe part of the problem is that there's too much help. One can literally go onto the Internet and, using the search engines, obviously, look up articles, lists, rosters of things you can do if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling time pressured, if you're feeling overwhelmed. My own site, www.breathingspace.com, of course, has quite a few resources on how you can achieve breathing space. The important thing to remember is this. You can't do everything that everybody recommends, but what you can do is choose two or three strategies that seem to work for you. So if you come in the morning and the first thing you routinely do is check all your email, well, then your morning is driven by what came into your inbox. You potentially could wait an hour, focus on the tasks at hand, focus on what you want to accomplish for that morning and that day, then perhaps check email, and you'd have a completely different orientation. So the short answer is, focus on a handful of strategies that make sense for you.
Well, I think that's interesting, because you're really talking about time management issues, and rather than call it time management, what we're really talking about, I think, is prioritization. And one of the things I've advised some of my clients to do who seem to be stressed out is, before you go home at night, make a list of what you want to start your day with and come in the morning and do that, or split up your day into an hour on marketing, 6 hours on work, and an hour on play or something like that. Is that what you're talking about in part?
Very much so. As a matter of fact, I like that strategy immensely and recommend it myself. When you focus on what you're going to do the next day, the night before, especially in the closing minutes before you leave the office, you have a far better chance of being more focused, more energized, and more directed that next day, unquestionably. Also, I like your idea of splitting your day into huge chunks, so that if you're doing client work for 6 hours, if you're doing marketing for an hour, if you're doing something else for an hour, this is very easy to follow. It's divisible. No need for some, you know, grand strategy here. Just simply chunk out the day, and that'll work as well as anything.
Well, let me ask you a really simple question. and there's a phrase for it that escapes me at the moment, but it's almost, you know, doctor, heal thyself. It's great. I mean, I can espouse what I just did. You are the real expert in this field. How do you follow your own advice? Why is it that I don't follow my own advice? What's the trigger?
Yeah, here again, it's important not to beat yourself up over this. We all, at one time or another in our careers, have read a time management book or two, read articles on reducing stress, read articles on being more productive in our careers, read articles on life balance, work-life balance. Everyone has been to a seminar, conference, convention where these sessions were held. And so it's not as if there's a lack of information. What happens is, in an age in which more information comes at us in a day than people of another generation had to respond to in a week or a month or longer, it's very, very easy to lose track, to lose focus, to go off course. As a matter of fact, suppose you went on a week-long vacation and you came back, presumably rested and ready to go. Now you come into the office, and by 10 o'clock on that first morning, you're already so overwhelmed you can't believe it, and it's as if you didn't even have that seven-day vacation.
Amen.
So we have to recognize everyone can get off track because of the volume of items competing for our attention.
So how do you do it? How would you recommend our listeners approach this?
It's as simple as taking out a piece of paper. It could be a Post-it pad. It could be just a blank piece of paper. I recycle all the paper I use. And simply writing down the three or four items you want to accomplish for that day, that morning, that given period of time. Now, we're not pulling these items out of thin air. They're usually based on some longer-term agenda. They're usually based on, the big career goals, the big business goals that we've had all along. And each day, you might be able to chip away at some of the longer-term tasks. In other words, do the daily portion of a longer-term task. Each day, you have things that scream for your attention. You have no choice but to deal with them. And each day, you have some electives. If you can write down three, four, five items, maybe six or seven, and you can knock out three or four by the end of the day, I say that's a pretty good day.
And not to beat yourself up about the two or three that you didn't get to.
I couldn't have said it better, because if you beat yourself up about those three or four, you'll fail to acknowledge what you did accomplish. You'll give your psyche a message that I'm always behind, I'm always falling short, I'm always not taking care of it all, when indeed you're doing quite a bit. I mean, look at your firm, look at your income, look at your home. Most people in the profession, most of the time, if they stick to any kind of reasonable work schedule, are doing rather well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most serious problems that I have encountered over the years, and that is that we lack self-esteem. I think that's a major issue in our world today, and I think part of that is because we beat ourselves up over what we don't get done that we'd like to, instead of complimenting ourselves, patting ourselves on the back for what we do achieve.
Yeah, and unfortunately it goes back to the roots of capitalism, and I'm not knocking capitalism. I wouldn't want to live in any other economic system. It's the best going so far. But like all economic systems, it has its drawbacks. One of the drawbacks of capitalism is that there are vendors, product and service vendors, who constantly make us feel as if we are deficient. you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is it that they sell cars with? They sell cars with sex. And,
and
nobody has the kind of sex life that Hollywood tells us we should have.
Well, I do, but other than that.
My hat's off to you then.
What happens is, in a capitalist society, vendors, quite legitimately, in order to sell more of their products, try to induce the needs, the feeling of needs within us. They make us feel deficient. They make us feel as if we're not keeping up with the the Joneses, they make us feel as if we don't get the latest and greatest, that somehow we're going to lose out. Now, here's a simple rule I can tell to all listeners. You don't need to buy a new device. You don't need to have some upgrade to your website. You don't need to be offering another product or service that's way out on the leading edge until you get the second or third request for it. The first time, let it go, but just acknowledge it. Second or third time somebody asks you about it, okay, then look into it. But too often, and you've probably done this, Ed, as much as I have, you know, we plunk down our dear dollars for some new device or contraption or web design that, in the grand scope of things, really hasn't furthered our efforts very much when we look back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you, is it really possible in today's world to have a simple life? I'm not sure simple life that we used to, because I'm not sure at any era life was simple, but at least not quite so run around, if that's the right way to say it.
No, I understand completely. No, in any given era, if you were to poll the people and ask them if they had a simple life, their invariable response would be no, because given the obstacles and burdens that they face, the technology that they have available, what they need to make a living, no, at any given time, no one would say, yeah, I have a simple life. As a matter of fact, we could make a strong argument that in the age of hunting and gathering, if you didn't kill the bull before he charged and gored you to death, that was anything but a simple existence. Same thing with raising crops, same thing with heading into the factory.
Right.
But in this over-information age, we can achieve what I call a simpler life. We can achieve simpler living, which actually happens to be the title of my latest book, Simpler Living, published by Skyhorse Press. It's a coffee table book. And in Simpler Living, what I espouse is that we do not need to have 158 different channels on our TV. 58 or even 28 will work.
Especially if they're good ones.
Yeah, especially if they're good ones. And I'm not knocking TV anymore. There's so much on that's crap and there's so much on that's good that you can always find the good. That isn't a problem anymore. But do we need four or five different software vendors tugging at our sleeve? Do we need two or three different product supply manuals? We can boil down the number of choices we face in a day to just a handful of the few that serve us best, and that alone will enable us to achieve simpler living.
Okay, so you're saying it is possible, and one of the ways we can do it is to perhaps prioritize what we're doing for tomorrow, today. And, of course, one of the things I like about that is somehow when I go to sleep at night, I'm thinking about tomorrow, and if I've got the ideas in my head, I come up with solutions oftentimes that I wouldn't have come up with during my waking hours. Another item would be to simplify or reduce the number of people we deal with. Am I reading you correctly so far?
Well, yeah. On first hearing, when you say reduce the number of people to deal with, it sounds a little cold and callous, but I think when we explore that further, it has great merit. Let's just take, for example, a law firm that's dealing with clients. Not all clients are created equal. Your A clients pay on time. They're a pleasure to work with. They have continuing needs. They don't ask you to operate on the edge of your ethics. It's work that you enjoy doing. B clients, a little less so. When you get down to the C's and D's, these are people you wish you didn't have to talk to. Anytime you encounter them, you know it's going to be a runaround. They ask you to operate on the edge of your ethics. They're always trying to weasel their way this way and that. So, yeah, one thing is, even in tough economic times, if you will draw the line as to what type of clients you will take on and what type you will not, that in itself would simplify your life from a human relations standpoint, even though I understand there could be some income challenges. But the same thing in your personal life. Pick the handful of vendors. Pick the handful of shops, the handful of car repair places. Pick the handful of reliable suppliers that serve you well, that do honest work, and your life will go simpler and easier. Tear down the list of people with whom you correspond on a regular basis when the interactions are not enjoyable. I know people that have hundreds and hundreds of, quote, Facebook friends, but let's face it, on any given day, you're only talking to 5, 10, 20 at the most. So, yeah, I'm a big believer in increasing the quality of your relationships by not having so many of them.
Outstanding advice. If in our closing moment here you were to pick one key piece of advice you would tell people, this is going to make your life better, what would that be?
All right, drum roll. Here we go.
There you go.
And I've even copyrighted, I've even trademarked the term and have a program around it. It's called The Art of Doing One Thing at a Time. If I had one thing to tell an audience and I had 1 minute to do it, practice the art of focusing on the task before you. Do one thing at a time. Slow down, focus, concentrate, give your best energies, give all your attention, and when you're finished with that, turn to the next item, and you'll have more energy, more focus, and more direction.
Are you suggesting in this world of multitasking that that's not really the appropriate way to go?
I'm suggesting that multitasking is one of the worst pieces of advice that one person could give to another. I wish the term had never come into being. Yeah, the longitudinal studies show that multitasking actually makes you less intelligent in those areas in which you are trying to be productive and efficient, that multitasking has long-term internal harm for most people, building up that they don't even realize is brewing. Right now, I'm on this conversation with you and all of our listeners, and nothing else in the world for the moment matters. I am practicing the art of doing one thing at a time.
Well, I congratulate you, and I thank you for joining us today. Jeff, it's been a pleasure. I think that our listeners will do well by listening to your suggestions. Thanks again for joining us today.
Quite enjoyable, Ed. Thank you.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.